Hello, welcome. I'm so glad you have joined us for the first segment of Explore Prophecy for Kids. It's going to be a fun adventure. Today, we're going to be talking about journeys. Milka is going to talk to us about backpacking journeys. And Tina is going to talk about a long journey that Daniel and three of his friends took across a very long desert to Babylon. I know you're going to enjoy it, and I can't wait to get started. Let's join Michael and Amy as they sing Dare to Be a Daniel.
The first thing you do when you plan a backpacking trip is to know where you're going.
You can choose a national park or any other place that allows backpacking. You need a map to guide you and even a compass. It may be very handy. You also need to find out the rules and guidelines for the area you're planning to go. Following these rules is very important, or your life could be in danger. Rules and guidelines are put into place to protect the backpackers and help their journey be safe and pleasant. One of the most common rules is not to get too close to wild animals. There is great wisdom in this rule. There have been cases of people who, plainly knowing this rule, ignored it and did not obey it, and by getting too close to a bear for a picture, they were attacked and killed. A very tragic way to end a vacation trip. There are certain things you need to take on a backpacking trip. First of all, you need a backpack so you can carry all the things you will need. In that backpack, you put enough water, dry food, mat, toiletries, flashlight, etc. You also need to wear proper clothing, hiking shoes, and a hat, very important. We can't forget the camera to take memorable pictures. Our journey to heaven can be compared to a backpacking trip. If we want to go to heaven, we have to find all the information we can about this place. Is there a map that will show us the way to heaven? Are there any requirements or guidelines on how to get there? Yes, there is a map. It's the Bible, the Word of God. And yes, there are guidelines and requirements to be able to get there. One of the guidelines is that evil is not welcome there. So people who practice evil cannot go to heaven, and for a good reason. This is found in Galatians 5:19-21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Evil people would ruin heaven if they would enter there. It would be like living on planet Earth all over again. Who wants that? Can you imagine having wars, human trafficking, violence of all sorts, tragedies, suffering, you name it, all over again? It wouldn't be heaven anymore if that happens. So this rule is fair and square and makes perfect sense, just like the one about not getting too close to a wild animal. Just like we take our backpack on a backpacking trip, we take our character to heaven. But not just any kind of character. This character cannot have any trace of evil, as we just read.
So, we are going to explore the character God wants us to have in this series of building character for eternity. Our character journey will be represented by this backpack. In every session, we'll be adding the essential items we need to form the character we take to heaven. This is truly a journey.
In every session, we're going to be answering questions people of all ages have.
It's time for frequently asked questions, and our first question is heaven an exciting place or a boring place where you only play a harp all day long? Read 1 Corinthians 2:9. It says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." The place God is preparing for his faithful children who love him is completely out of this world. The way of life and technology up there is so advanced that it has not yet entered any human thoughts. There are no words that can describe this amazing place. Not only that, there is no death up there. So, if there is no death, then life is eternal. That means you live forever. Revelation 21, verse 4 says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. There is not a place that can match heaven. It is the top-notch place ever. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss going to heaven by anything. Our second question is, I know there's bad stuff in my life that needs to change, and I've tried hard, but it hasn't worked. Is there any hope for me? Yes, there is hope. Matthew 19:26 reminds us that with God, all things are possible. Even though we have our human limitations, there is nothing too hard for God to accomplish. In Philippians 4:13, we find another promise. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We unite our human effort with divine power. Just remember, a little baby learning how to walk. He will fall down many times. Sometimes he can even get discouraged or frustrated. But Dad or Mom will be by his side, helping him and guiding him to accomplish this important milestone. We are like this baby learning how to walk. God is like the daddy helping us along the way.
Milka, and now get your Bibles as we join Tina in studying Daniel chapter 1.
We are about to start on an amazing adventure in prophecy together. Have you ever wanted to know the future? God has some things He wants you to know about the future. We will get to be like detectives, exploring the prophecies using the symbols found right in the Bible itself. We'll find those clues to put together these prophecies. Daniel 12:10 says, the wicked won't understand these prophecies, but the wise will. So the first thing we need to do before every lesson is pray. Then Jesus will give us His wisdom. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So in every lesson, we will try to grow in our relationship with Jesus. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Jesus, precious sweet Jesus, You have revealed Yourself to us in these prophecies, and we look forward to learning about more about You and the clues that You've put together that we can figure out what's coming in the future. We pray that as we study, that Your Holy Spirit will open our minds, make us attentive listeners, help it to sink right deep in our hearts and make a difference in our lives and the lives of others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever heard it said, follow your heart? Let your heart lead the way. What does it mean to follow your heart? It means to follow your inclinations. Do what you think and feel. It might sound good, and I'm sure you've heard it from places like TV and Disney. Let me ask you, though. Is it safe to follow your own heart, really? The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Did Jesus follow His own heart? He said in John 5:30, I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. David wrote in Psalms 119:112, I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always. Did he learn it wasn't safe to follow his heart? Yes, he did. Following his heart led him into sin with some fearful consequences. Do you know who came up with this idea? Satan did. Ezekiel 28 describes Satan in heaven as a beautiful angel that was created perfectly by God. He was a covering cherub, so he was very close to God. Unfortunately, though, verse 17 tells us his heart was lifted up because of his beauty, and his wisdom was corrupted. He followed his own heart and led one-third of all the angels to leave heaven by following their own hearts. We now know him as the devil and his angels as demons. How sad. Many times a day we have choices to make. Sometimes big choices, but many times little choices. Walking with Jesus is saying yes to him with all my known choices. Every choice we make is important because every choice brings consequences. Satan was constantly tempting Jesus to make bad choices, and he works untiringly to encourage us to make bad choices. As we study Daniel, we will learn about decisions different people make. Some cling to God. Others follow their own heart. We will refer back to some of these first stories we're learning later in our study of Revelation. Daniel 1 and 3 gives us some great examples of people making good choices when faced with a moral dilemma. When faced with these decisions, they choose Jesus over inclination, feeling, and even appearances. Would you be brave enough to do that when, to all appearances, choosing right will likely bring death to you? Have you ever had a life test? Now, I'm sure you've had tests in school, but I'm talking about a real life test of your character. A life test. A moral dilemma where if you do what you know is morally right, there could be dire consequences. In Daniel chapter 1, Daniel and his three friends have a life test over something many people would not feel was that important. Certainly not worth dying for. Their first test is over what they should eat. Many people feel that what they eat is a small matter, that we can follow our own heart in that. They feel no one else, not even God, should be consulted in what they eat. Yet, what was Jesus' first temptation in the desert with Satan? That's right, it was about food. Not fancy food even, just bread. Sometimes Satan has an easier time tempting us with food, but not so with Daniel and his three friends. Daniel and his three friends had been stolen away from their family, friends, and people. They were carried away during a wartime in Israel. They were taken captive. And they were young. They were just teenagers and were essentially made slaves to Babylon and to a king named Nebuchadnezzar. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar decided to take the best of the youth from Israel and give them special advantages to be of service in his courts. He put them in a special school to learn the language and ways of Babylon. Thinking to be kind to them, he ordered these special young people to eat food from his own table. Now Daniel and his friends had a choice to make. If they eat from the king's table and drank of his wine, they would gain favor with the king, and at least they wouldn't offend him. Yet if they did eat from the king's table, they would be dishonoring their God. Do you wonder how they would be dishonoring God? Well, they knew alcohol was bad because of the example of Nadab and Abihu, who dishonored God by drinking alcohol. They also knew that the food at the king's table had been offered to idols. Eating of it would be essentially worshiping the gods of Babylon. Already the Babylonians were gloating over the conquering of Israel and carrying off the golden vessels of God's sanctuary. They were sure their gods must be stronger. They didn't realize that the God of Israel had allowed them to be conquered in order to turn the hearts of his people and the world back to him. Finally, much of the food was unclean. According to what they had learned in their training, God had instructed his people to drain the blood from the meat and only to eat animals that were clean, as described in Leviticus 11. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat and wine. His three young friends agreed to brave this one too. Now, this was no small thing. They could certainly die for offending the king. He could easily have made excuses. After all, he was a captive, right? Do you think he was following his heart? You think he felt like doing this? It would have been a whole lot easier to just go along with it or just at least have an appearance of doing it. But compromise, he would not. The Bible says God blessed him with favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Would he have had that favor with the eunuchs if he had been rude and rebellious with him prior to this? No. Even now he came and gently asked if he and his three companions could be excused and be given a simple diet instead. Well, Ashpenaz was afraid he would be killed by the king if the king found out the young men had done this and that he found them looking worse than the other young men. So Daniel asked Milzar, the man Ashpenaz had placed over them, to test them for just 10 days and compare them with the other young men. Daniel and his friends would eat pulse. That's just like vegetables and beans or peas, legumes. Some people think maybe that would be like fruits, nuts, grains, and vegetables. And water for 10 days, while the other young men ate the dainties from the king's table. 10 days passed. What do you think? How did they do? How did they compare to the others? Let's read Daniel 1, 14 and 15. Daniel chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Yes, God bless those boys who honored him. So they were allowed to eat a simple diet the rest of their time in training. At the end of the training, the king found them 10 times better than all the other wise men in the whole realm. God says in 1 Samuel 2:30, "Those who honor me, I will honor." Daniel and his friends were put as leaders in the province of Babylon. He certainly honored them, didn't he? So, when the king ordered all the leaders of the countries of his province to come and worship a golden image that he had set up in the plain of Dura, they were summoned as well. Daniel must have been away for some reason, but his three friends had no choice but to go. They were very carefully instructed to bow down to the image when the music played, or they would go into the burning fiery furnace raging nearby. What would you do? Would you kneel down and pray to God instead? Would you just tie your shoelace? That would still have the appearance that they were bowing to an idol. These friends of God cared about God's honor. They would not even appear to worship anyone but God, whatever the consequences. The music played, and everyone in that huge assembly bowed to the image, except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, their enemies were quick to go tell on them to the king. The king couldn't believe it, and so he questioned them. Maybe they misunderstood. He would give them another chance. As if to intimidate them, he said, "And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" Let's read their answer to the king. It's found in Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor worship the gold image which you have set up." What do you think? The king was furious. He commanded the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter. Strong soldiers picked those three young men up and threw them in, clothes and all. The fire was so hot, the soldiers were immediately killed. No one could say that wasn't a hot fire. I imagine the king's face is furious with rage, all red, and then it turns pale as fear swept in. He turned and looked. Hadn't they thrown in 3 men into the fiery furnace? But as he's looking, he sees 4 men walking around, unbound, and the 4th looks like the Son of God. How did he know the 4th looked like the Son of God? Daniel and his friends must have let Jesus live in them. I also wonder if the 3 wouldn't surely have bowed in front of their Savior. I mean, wouldn't you have fallen on your knees and worshiped God? Surely they were seen worshiping their true God in that furnace. This was whom they worshiped, not golden images that didn't know anything anyway. This was a God of compassion who would walk in the fire with them. What an amazing honor was theirs. The king was amazed and called them out of the furnace. He called to them, "Servants of the Most High God, come out." He called them servants of the Most High God, and for good reason, too. Indeed, they were God's servants. They passed that real life test, and God was brought glory and honor as a result. Now, all the countries of Babylon learned of this amazing God. Even King Nebuchadnezzar said with confidence, "There is no other God that can deliver like this." These servants of the Most High God who were thrown into the blazing furnace, and their hair was not even singed. The king was amazed at their courage, that they would rather sacrifice themselves than to serve or worship any god but their own. They didn't even smell like smoke. Remember that, boys and girls. You will need to tuck that away in your head for a later lesson that we're going to come to. Remember this point that a pagan king made. Serving and worshiping go hand in hand. We worship with our heart or with our service. Jesus wants our heart. Then our service will naturally follow. Sometimes we're afraid to be different. These boys likely felt that way too. They weren't trying to be different from everyone else. But they would be different rather than dishonor their God. Oh, how God needs young people like that today. Revelation 13 describes a day coming where worship will be a very big issue. The whole world will wonder and marvel and worship Satan by obeying him instead of God. It says that those who are true to God will not be able to buy or sell, and that there will even be a death decree. Just after the Last Supper with his disciples, when Judas had gone out to do his work of betrayal, Jesus warned his disciples about the cost of following him. He actually promised his disciples in John 6:33 that in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Life as a Christian will not always be easy, just as it wasn't easy for these men we learned about today, or about Jesus' disciples he was warning. They still had to go into the fire, these boys did. But Jesus was with them, and Jesus promises to never leave or forsake us. He promises that in Hebrews 13, verse 5. I want to be true to God, don't you? Do you think Daniel and his friends learned to be faithful to God when they were your age? Some tests you face today may seem small, but Luke 16:10 says, "He that is faithful in little is faithful also in much." Who helps us to be faithful? It's Jesus. Every day we face many decisions. Some lead to life and some lead to death. We must ask Jesus to help us with all the decisions we face. We need his help. Our hearts will lead us wrong, and he knows our hearts better than we do, doesn't he? He knows where we are weak and don't even know it. Do you remember Jesus' disciple who thought he was strong but was really weak? Jesus' disciple Peter really believed he was Jesus' most loyal disciple. Remember Jeremiah 17:9 says, "Our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Peter didn't know it. He didn't heed Christ's warning to watch and pray. And he got into a rough crowd when warming his hands at the fire, and he tried to blend in with them. That is where he went wrong. He tried to blend in with the wrong crowd. That is like giving Satan an easy way to tempt you. When the finger of scorn is pointed at him, he denied even knowing Jesus. When we realize how desperately we need him, then we will watch and pray, and we will have his strength. When Peter realized his need, he became a changed man, as we too can be. Peter even had the honor of dying for Jesus. He said he was unworthy to die as his Lord. So he asked to be crucified upside down. Upside down. When Jesus was in Gethsemane, so weighed down with our guilt, that he said, "I am exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." Mark 14:34. He was sweating, as it was great drops of blood. It tells us in Luke 22:44. What was his prayer? "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me." He submitted his will and said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Luke 22:42. Can we look into the face of Jesus on the cross and continue in our own selfish ways, doing what we want to do? Oh no. Let's humble ourselves before him now, surrendering our will to him. Let's ask him to lead us to be Christian patriots for him. Let's be of the kind that are true as steel to principle, who won't be corrupted by selfishness, but who honor God at the loss of all things. I want to give you a challenge. Why don't you try this diet Daniel and his three friends tried? We have King's foods today, don't we? We have lots of rich, fatty, and sugary foods today. Why don't you just see if you don't feel better and maybe have more energy and think better and look better on a whole food plant-based diet? Try to eat a simple diet with fruits, nuts, greens, and vegetables prepared in a simple and wholesome way. If you don't think you could do that, why not just at least give it a 10-day test or even a 17-day test while you're learning these important truths of prophecy from God's Word, so that you will think clearly and be able to figure out these Bible mysteries. I hope that like Daniel, you will purpose in your heart not to defile yourself with alcohol or drugs or anything that clouds your brain. As we will learn near the end of this series, there is a test that will be coming on the whole world. It'll be a big test that will decide your destiny and will be a matter of worship again. You will certainly need wisdom to discern it and not fail. Daniel and his friends were faithful in this matter of diet, and it prepared them to stand the big test on worship. God is looking for young men and women today who will not consult feelings or inclinations, but will be as true as steel to principle, who care for God's honor more than even life itself. If you want to tell Jesus yes, I want to say yes to you always, even in the small things. Will you tell him that as we pray, and ask him to strengthen you for that commitment? Let's pray. Oh, dear Jesus, like Peter, we want to say we would die for you, but we are weak. We know, though, that where we are weak, you are strong, and you are able to save to the uttermost those who come to you in faith. Lord, we come, help thou our unbelief, help us to have faith, to follow you even in the small things, even when others may ridicule us for those small things we're faithful in, so that we can be faithful when the big tests come. It's so easy to compromise in this world that we live in, but I just pray that you'll give us wisdom from above to recognize the temptations of Satan, and that we will cling to you for wisdom and power to overcome. In your name we pray these things. We love you. Amen. Thank you.
two paths, the path to life or the path to death. I want to choose the path to life. How about you? Thank you for watching our program today. Don't forget to check out the activity pages. And we'll see you tomorrow. God bless.